Thank Ben for the good songs and Tom for the good comments for the Lord's Supper this morning. It's truly good to be together and have a chance and opportunity to study together. I encourage you to have your Bibles out. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to look at some more of the I am's of Jesus this morning. The I am's of Jesus. And as we're looking at in the lessons that I've gotten a habit of following through on are the names of Jesus, the titles he was given. We understand, and we talked, it's maybe been a little bit, maybe not too long, but Jesus' titles and names meant something. And it meant something to the people in that day, and sometimes they had specific meanings, and it's recorded for us to go back and study and look to these and learn from them. In this case, in John chapter 10, we have the I am's of Jesus written in a parable form. Okay, these are parables that Jesus spoke to the Jews here, and they are very insightful, I think, in a lot of ways. I think it's a good lesson for us, and I hope we gain these from this lesson today. But the names of Jesus, and this entire text there of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, we find there's three parables actually given. One of them is Jesus says, "I am the shepherd." And that's John 10, 1 through 6. And then verse 7 through 10, Jesus says, "I am the door." And then the third parable is, "I am the good shepherd." And that's John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. If you not get those verses, that's okay. We're going to have a slide here in a minute. We'll have them on there as well. So this is an introduction. These are the three parables we're looking at. I am the shepherd, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. What I want to look at first, though, is kind of the context of this. We've already studied actually John chapter 9. I know it's been a while, you may have forgotten, but John chapter 9 is about the blind man, where Jesus goes and makes clay, or spittle as he calls it, and puts it on the blind man's eye. And on a Sabbath day, he does this, and the blind man is going and is healed. If you remember the story, the blind man is brought before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, who did this? We want to know, because he done this on the Sabbath day. That's the big problem. Remember his parents? They said, "Well, we don't know. Go ask him. He's of age. He knows." Remember that? The parents said that. John said, because they feared the Pharisees. Because they feared the Pharisees. Unless they be put out of synagogue. And in the end, the blind man goes before the Pharisees and basically preaches to them. The blind man goes and teaches the Pharisees. And they take great offense to that, if you remember from that. Jesus returns to the blind man after he was cast out and asks the blind man if he believed in the Messiah. And the blind man said there in John chapter 10, verse 36, the blind man asked and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you." And blind man responds, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus, it says there. And so in the context, this is leading up to John chapter 10. It actually all fits together. And until I studied this, I didn't realize how closely it fits together. But seeing and knowing how the Pharisees interacted with the blind man chose to follow Jesus. The Pharisees rejected Jesus. Remember that in John chapter 9? If you look there in verse 27 of John chapter 9, the blind man answers the Pharisees, "I have told you already what had just happened, how he was healed and who healed him. You do not hear. Would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple?" The blind man asked the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, in verse 28, reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from." And so this is the introduction to the parable here. The blind man believed and followed Jesus. The Pharisees rejected Jesus, says he's not the Messiah. He couldn't be Messiah because he's sinned. And then Jesus gives these parables. It is to the same audience. And if we'll note here, John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily." And commentators say in the Greek, when they use those terms, by the way, those words, "amen, amen," is what that is. That's where we get our word, "amen." That is the words that John chapter 10, verse 1 starts with there. The beginning of that means it's closely tied to the preceding verses and preceding context. But we also see in verse 21 at the end of our parable, notice what these men said. We're talking about Jesus. "These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" So these men that Jesus is telling this parable to are the same ones that understood They may or may not be in the same city. These men, though, knew that Jesus had healed this blind man. They knew the circumstances. Could you imagine someone being cast out of the temple and derided like the blind man was? The rumor would spread, and the Pharisees would have made sure of that, because what's the Pharisees trying to do? The Pharisees trying to make sure they don't lose their sheep, right? The Pharisees want to make sure they make an example of this man. I'm reading between the lines here, but think about the context of what's going on here. The Pharisees going to make sure nobody else follows this blind man, this heretic. And so, notice, so that's the introduction to this parable. Notice in the particular, the people that respond after in verse 39 of John chapter 9. So let's go back to verse 39. So we know the same people are being addressed by these parables in chapter 10. But in verse 39 it says, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come in the world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sins remain." And so, and then we introduce into the parable here, John chapter 10. So whether it's the exact same city, it makes it sound like it's the same city. After John chapter verse 21, the event there is months later. Okay, so there is but most likely at a minimum, it's the same audience these parables are being taught to. So what are we looking at here? What's going on here? These parables are taught to people who have just seen the blind man be rejected by the Pharisees, and they have to be going through their mind, who is this Jesus? Should we follow Jesus, who performed these miracles and healed this blind man, or should we follow the Pharisees, who say the disciples of Moses? These are the questions going through these people's minds. So this parable, as we're going to see, is taught to address the kingdom leadership and membership. The Pharisees just rejected the blind man who professed faith in Christ. He's rejected. And all the people sitting on the sidelines, well, who do we follow? Do we follow this man who just healed the blind man? Who the blind man and all the Jews knew, it never has this happened before. He's performing the works of God. He's showing signs from being from God. Or do we follow these Pharisees? Because they're Moses' disciples, because my parents follow them, because we go every week to the synagogue, or we go, they're in our life. They are, these Jews, these Pharisees, are our religion. And Jesus teaches these parables, these three parables, to teach his followers about who is the leadership of the new kingdom. Who should they be following? Who is the membership going to consist of? So as we think about that, we're going to see these elements in the parable. These are all common elements, just like any other parable. They're common everyday. They're farming words. We have the shepherd, the one who cares for the sheep, and then we have a sheepfold, which is nothing more than a pen or corral. You look at that word in the Old English, sheepfold is a pen or a corral, and it's got a gate. That's the way they put their sheep maybe up at night in these pens, or use them to work them for the health and care, whatever the case may be. There is the intruder, which is called throughout this parable a wolf or a stranger, a thief or a robber. And then there's also in one of the parables, not all of them, but there's a hireling that's brought up, a hireling, which is just a worker or a laborer. We're going to talk about that individual, and maybe there's a link to that in the parable as well, Jesus intended there. So if you can see, I don't know how well you can see this, make this out. This is one of the corrals. I just pulled it off the internet. It's something that I think we would see in that country. It's just a rock wall, and we see here a door. There's no gate on this one, obviously, but there is a pen, a corral, or a sheepfold, that would be called. And here's another one here. This particular one is at an intersection. And this one actually has four gates. That one was quite elaborate, considering some of the other pictures I've seen. But all the sheepfold is just a pen. So let's get on and look at the parables. I want to read each one of these. And I told you I'd give you a chance to write these down. So we're going to John chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. Jesus says here, "I am the shepherd." And I think when we get done, we're going to see how all these tie in together. We're going to see how a common theme that exists in all three of these parables. We're going to see how I believe it addresses the issues of John chapter 9. It addresses the issues of the blind man.
It addresses the issues of the Pharisees. And so if you want to follow along, John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 6. The parable that Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that has entered by the door of the sheepfold, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And so we see here in this parable, Jesus is the head.
Jesus is the shepherd. Remember, he's telling us to men who have just seen a dissension, a division in the Jewish religion. The Jews, the Pharisees, had put the blind men out of synagogue, had threatened others to put them out of synagogue. The blind men said, I'm following Jesus. Jesus tells this parable. Jesus said, I am the head. I am the shepherd. There is one shepherd. And guess who the shepherd was not in these parables? The shepherd was not the Pharisees. There is one shepherd, and it was not the Pharisees. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the one to follow. The sheep that follow him, that know him and follow him. The sheep are supposed to follow him. Once again, they're not following the Pharisees. They're to follow Jesus. The sheep are to follow Jesus. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Those are under the head of Jesus, the shepherd, just like the blind man. Who did the blind man follow? He didn't follow the Pharisees, did he? He followed Jesus. He followed the shepherd. The Pharisees must likewise do so. The Pharisees claim to be Moses' disciple, but the only people in this parable that are approved of are the ones who follow Jesus. The only one who has the protection to the shepherd are the ones that follow Jesus. The Pharisees are outside that fold. Something else, and we're going to follow up on that with the Pharisees here in a moment. But Jesus knows his sheep. There's an indication here of intimacy. He knows every blemish. He knows every scar. He knows everything about them. And maybe it's not so much that he knows in this regard, but Jesus takes account of them. He is aware of them and cares for them. He takes care of their needs. And probably more like the idea involved there, as a shepherd would his sheep. He makes sure that, the parables, he can make this specific point. He makes sure they have good pasture to go to. In other words, he's aware of their needs and sees to their needs. That's the job of the shepherd. He knows his sheep. All others are thieves and robbers. His audience here, knowing and seeing what happened to the blind man, they're sitting there thinking, oh, where's the place for the Pharisees who don't follow Jesus? Who are they? Who are these religious people? If they're not the shepherd, Jesus says, I am the shepherd. Jesus says, his sheep follow him. Where does that leave the Pharisees? They're the thieves and robbers in this case. Jesus really calls out the Pharisees and in this parable, and it makes it very clear they're not accepted in their current condition until they follow him like his sheep. They are not approved. Even though they currently hold a position of power, they will not be his sheep. They do not have a place in his kingdom. They do not have a place in his kingdom. Jesus makes that very clear. And now, I say makes it very clear. What was the last verse we read? Verse 6. How clear did he make it? Well, he may have made it pretty clear, but they had trouble with it, didn't they? Notice verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand. They didn't get it. They're like, what? I know we probably give up giving our kids those instructions, right? I've heard preachers say, well, I've preached that once. And I'm like, yeah, okay. How many times does it take us to figure something out sometimes? Maybe a lesson for us there. Jesus spoke the parable. The master teacher spoke the parable. But as with many times, the Jews and his disciples, his closest disciples, they had trouble comprehend exactly what Jesus was talking about. It didn't always make sense. And so Jesus gives them another parable. And it's almost like the first one, but it's worded a little bit different. So now we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. So he gives this parable about, I am the shepherd. They're still confused, so he gives the next parable. In verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, but to steal, and to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So we see the disciples did not understand Jesus' instructions. They didn't, for whatever level they didn't understand it, they didn't get it. Looking back, we can look at it, and it kind of makes sense to us now. I hope I'm helping make sense of the parables here and how they fit together. But they didn't understand it. Jesus says, I am the door. Once again, that position of superiority, that position of authority, Jesus is the door. Those that enter through him are saved. You must, the Pharisee says, all or most of the disciples. As for this man, we don't know, right? Remember that in chapter 9? I've got that one underlined, by the way. In chapter 9, in verse 28, they reviled the blind man and said, you are his disciple, being Jesus' disciple, but we are Moses's. We know that God spoke to Moses. Jesus says, the only ones that come through the door, through his door, come through him, are saved. The Pharisees are on the outside. Jesus is saying the Pharisees are on the outside. And these sheep that follow him, they're going to have good pasture. These will be taken care of, just like a shepherd would do. They will be cared for, and they will have abundant life. And this is where we've got that series I've been doing, and I've kind of left off on it. But the abundant life that Jesus offers. So then obviously I've used this particular passage in verse 10 to springboard all these little different ideas. In the context, he's saying, guys, the sheep will have everything they need. They will have the best life. But if you're on the outside, and so don't worry about being cast out by the Pharisees. Yeah, they're your religion today, but don't worry. The blind man's been cast out. They've all been threatened to be cast out. He's saying, the only good that comes are those who follow me. You will have it good. There will be good pasture in the analogy, just like a shepherd would his sheep. They will have an abundant life. So don't worry about these Pharisees. Don't worry about these Pharisees. Those who claim to be the lead and head and that want them to be followed, they're the false doors, or the false, those who falsely claim to be the door, I'm sorry. And that's the Pharisees. They claim that. In verse 13 through 23 there, where the Pharisees are interacting and claiming, expressing their authority over the situation. They're reading there in verse 13 of John chapter 9. This is the Pharisees. This is their attitude. So they brought unto the Pharisees him that was born blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to him, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I do see. Therefore, says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, he that opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The blind man is saying this. He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents and had them talk to him. And then it's about his parents and how the parents come up. And they asked his parents, what happened about this man? Who's your son? They said, well, we know this is our son, and we know he's born blind, but you go talk to him. So they falsely claimed to be the door. They were standing there casting judgment on this situation. And then there was a division. We've noticed that. And even at the end of chapter 9, we see the Pharisees, some of them there, ask, are we blind also? So there was a division among the Pharisees. Where do we go? Jesus performed this miracle. Well, no, he's a sinner. No man can sinner can perform miracles like that. So there's a division among the Pharisees. Jesus is answering that division. You don't worry about these Pharisees. You don't worry about these Pharisees. You follow me. They are wolves. They are thieves. They are false prophets and false messiahs. They're thieves. They're there to steal, kill, and destroy. Exactly what they did to the blind man. That's figurative language to say they're trying to destroy the blind man's faith by casting him out and dealing with him as he dealt. They're trying to destroy the faith of anyone who followed Jesus. And if you follow him, we're going to cast you out of the synagogue. As the blind man's parents said in verse 22, and I've mentioned this, but I've kind of skipped over reading it here. But in John chapter 9, verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess he was Christ, they should be to put out of synagogue. And again, in John chapter 12, the same thing is stated there in verse 42 of John 12. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. The Pharisees were out trying to keep everybody from following Jesus, no matter what. They were doing the work of a thief. Steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus wording here in the parable. They are the thieves in these parables. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the door. It says, I am the door, as our parable states. And so he gives this in response to the first parable. They didn't understand the first one, so this time he says, I am the door. Once again, Jesus is the one sent from God. Jesus is the one to follow. You don't follow anybody else that comes back any other way. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus. It's not through the Pharisees. Not only that, is it not through the Pharisees have no part. And we're going to get into that here in a minute. He makes a point. There is only one head. And he does it in this next parable. It's almost identically named, as obvious. I am the good shepherd, he says now. I am the good shepherd. And so this finishes out verse 11 through 18 that we'll particularly study today. In John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18, reading there, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the sheep, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches him and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. So now Jesus is the good shepherd. A similar analogy to the very first parable. There's a lot in this one. And the cursory reading for me as I studied it, I didn't pick up on all of it until as I continued to study and see there's a lot in this parable here. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And what we see in here, I believe, as we look, there are some prophecies here now. There are some prophecies. First of all, Jesus gives life. Jesus is the giver of life. So, gives his life. Jesus is going to give his life for the sins of the people, as we know in the end, as the scripture says. And this life he gives, you Pharisees, is not taken from him. Jesus gives it. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews do not take the life of Jesus. They do not conquer Jesus. Jesus yields and allows them to take his life. He shows his superiority and being the shepherd, being the good shepherd. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he's prophesying that he will die and that he will yield his life up. And the Jews, in the end, they're going to recognize, look at this, that Jesus gave his life up. It was not taken from him. He was not conquered. The Jews and the Pharisees in particular are not going to be victorious. They are not victorious. Jesus gives this. He just yields. He lays down his armor. He doesn't fight them on this. and they take his life as he gives it. We also see another prophecy. I believe the hireling, as we talk about, is the apostles. He's showing a prophecy here that his hirelings, his people that are caring for him or that work for him are going to flee. And although Scripture doesn't specifically state this, I don't see how, it just seems like an obvious tie-in to me. The hirelings who are there to help take care of the flock, they flee from the wolf. And I think that's a prophecy that during the time of his trial, and when he is crucified, we know the apostles all did leave him. And I think that's what the link here is as far as the hirelings go. We also see that Jesus knows his sheep back to the very first part of the parable where he says, I am the shepherd. He knows their sheep. He's intimate with them. He cares for them. You see the care and concern that comes from a true shepherd, not the hireling, but the true shepherd, how that analogy plays out. The true shepherd cares for his sheep more than a hireling would, as this note is made in our parable as we read it. But also he knows every blemish and flaw. We also see that Jesus, the good shepherd, is known of the Father. The Father knows Jesus and loves Jesus. What about the Pharisees? Does God not love the Pharisees? Jesus says, God the Father knows and loves me. What about the Pharisees? We see a definite division here, a dissension between those who follow Jesus and those who do not. Jesus knows God the Father. So the analogy there, I think, is just saying that they are intimate between one another. They know each other. They're aware of each other. And, of course, now today we look at it, we understand the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They certainly did not at that time understand that relationship. Jesus is making that claim. He's taking that claim. God knows me, and I know the Father. What about the Pharisees? The Pharisees got to be asking themselves, oh, but we've been following the Pharisees. Jesus said we have to follow you. We have to follow him. We have to follow Jesus, but I'm following the Pharisees. And Jesus has not given them any place to follow the Pharisees. You either follow me, Jesus says, or you're a thief, or you're a robber. What about the Pharisees? Jesus is accepted by God, is what he's saying here. Jesus is accepted by God. Jesus is approved by God. What about the Pharisees? That's the questions that they're asking themselves as Jesus tells these stories. Prophecy of the kingdom expansion. Another prophecy here. There are other sheep that are not of this fold. There are other sheep, verse 16, that are not of this fold. Them must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, I'm sure at this point they probably have no idea what this is referring to. I don't see how you apply this to anything but the Gentiles. There are more sheep. The Gentiles will be accepted when the apostle, when Peter in Acts chapter 10 is shown that blanket, they're finally starting to realize what some of these things mean. In this particular case, that there are more sheep. That's got to be a reference to the Gentiles being part of the kingdom. So once again, another prophecy here, I believe, of things to come. As Jesus teaches, I am the good shepherd. Notice too, if they had any doubt at this point, Jesus is a shepherd, and there's these thieves, and there's these robbers, and there's these wolves. And if they were asking who and where the Pharisees fit in this puzzle, Jesus clears it up real quick. Jesus says in this parable here, there is one shepherd, and there is one herd. There is one. There are not multiple ones. In other words, the Pharisees don't have a part in this. You must follow me. The Pharisees must follow me. You must follow me, or you fit in this other category. There is one herd and there's one shepherd. The Pharisees and the Jews are not going to have their own herd. They're not going to have their own shepherd. They're not going to have the abundant life. They're not going to be taken to pasture. They're not going to have all the blessings of being with the shepherd. They are going to be outcast and they're going to be separated and not a part of God's kingdom. Because God's approved of Jesus. He's making that point here. I'm a good shepherd. God knows me and loves me. What about the shepherd? What about the Pharisees, right? That's what their audience is going to be saying. That's what their audience will be asking themselves. What about? Remember the context. The Pharisees had just cast the blind man out of the temple. They had just cast him out. And the Pharisees asked themselves, Jesus, there in the end of John chapter 9, are we blind also? Some of the Pharisees are asking that same question. Are we blind also? That in verse 40 of John chapter 9. They openly, the Pharisees, the elite Pharisees anyways, most of them did not believe in Jesus. They openly rejected Jesus. Now, some of them, as we read in that, let's see, missing the verse here, verse 16, some of the Pharisees said it can't be of God. Jesus is not a God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So there was a distinction among them. The Pharisees, it says that no man can do these things except he be from God. They got to be taking note of this. They got to be recognizing there's something going on here. These certain group rejected Jesus. Now, some of them, including the blind man, openly followed Jesus. You know, they may not openly follow him, but they at least admitted that, hey, Jesus has got to be from God. Nobody can do these miracles. Blind man was right. The blind men followed. Pharisees openly rejected. There was one shepherd. There was one, one herd. And the shepherd was Jesus. It was not the Pharisees. It was not the Pharisees. Jesus is head of the new kingdom. Jesus, all that participate in the new kingdom must follow Jesus. They cannot. So from the lessons that we learn as we study these parables here, all three of these parables have a similar and consistent meaning in them. You must follow Jesus if you're going to be in the new kingdom. There is no other way. It's not through the Pharisees. It's not through the scribes. There is one person. It's Jesus, who knows God and is known by God and is loved by God, is the head of the new kingdom. You must follow the shepherd. You must enter through the door. There's no other way. Anybody else that enters any other way is a thief or a robber or a wolf and with ulterior motives and bad motives. Jesus is, it's not the Pharisees. They had rejected Jesus. They had no part in the kingdom. Their work was to destroy and scatter the kingdom. And we see that happen. We see it happening in this present day time in John chapter 10. But with what they did with the blind man in John chapter 12, it already threatened what they done with the blind man's parents in John chapter 9. They were destroying and scattering the kingdom by the way they reacted to Jesus and by the way they reacted to those who followed him. That was what their work was. They destroyed, scattered the kingdom. And that's where the Pharisees were at. So we look at the prophecies. Jesus will give his life for the sheep. He's prophesying that it's going to happen. They will see that happen, and it'll all make sense later. I got the mouse outline here. Let me fix that. There will be one shepherd, and there will be more sheep to come. Jesus is the one shepherd and the only shepherd. That's prophesied there. There will be more sheep. And so the Pharisees, there's still no place for the Pharisees. You know what the disciples want to do? And we talked in a lesson the other day. James and John want to be one on the right hand and one on the left hand. Everybody's wanting that preeminent place. There's one shepherd and all the rest were sheep. There was no place for anybody else except that you're either a sheep or you're the shepherd. And then the prophecy that we saw that there were more sheep, that would be most likely the Gentiles. And then that there will be one herd that they have to be a part of to be accepted by Jesus. And then the hirelings will flee, most likely. Obviously, we think that would certainly be the apostles. And the wolves will attempt to scatter, steal, and destroy, which is the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Jews of the day who held to Judaism, who held to their doctrine, to their system of government, who only wanted that way in life. So we see, as we look at these three parables, I am the shepherd, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. Given to a group of people who had just seen the blind man cast out, or at least knows of the blind man being cast out. The people who knows that if they accepted Jesus, they would be cast out of the temple as well. The proclamation was made throughout by the Pharisees. You must follow us. If anybody follows Jesus, you will be cast out of synagogue. And Jesus comes up here and says, I am the shepherd, and nobody comes. All blessings come through me. I am loved by the Father. I am accepted by the Father. I am known by the Father. And anybody else who's not either me or anybody else who does not follow me is rejected. Anybody else who does not follow me, they are the wolf. They are there to steal, destroy, and scatter.
And so as they heard this lesson of Jesus, as he talked about being, I am the shepherd, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, recognized and saw that they cannot follow the Pharisees anymore and be pleasing to God. God, or Jesus here, stakes his claim and says, you must follow me. You must do exactly like the blind man did. What did the blind man do? Just turn back to John chapter 9. Blind man says there, starting at verse 30 of John chapter 9, and we'll close the lesson with this point. John chapter 9, verse 30. The blind man answered and said to them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not where it is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. We know that, and the Pharisees respond, we know that God, I'm sorry, this is still a blind man. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the Pharisees answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sin. You teach us, and they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, they said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talks with thee. And the blind man said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. What a great response to the gospel. What a great response to Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus wants of us. Regardless of what's going on in his life, he wants us to accept and follow him just like the blind man. Don't worry about what other people think of you. Come and follow me. Believe in me. Believe in me because of my works. Believe in me because I am from the Father. Believe in me because I am who I am. And if you do, and you're baptized like he's commanded, you can have your sins washed away. Never be remembered again. And if you begin that walk and you stumble along the way, we always offer an invitation. For those that, if you have need to be baptized this morning, please do so. If you've been baptized before and stumbled along the way, and there's some prayers of the saints that you need in some way, we offer you that this time as well to make your wishes known. So if you're subject to our gospel's call, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?